You posted on Facebook that you are disappointed with your colleagues on the board. Could you elaborate about that?
Well, yesterday's meeting was a continuation of a meeting back in late July, where we'd been looking at approving this multifamily rezone process that's been in the works for a long time, and the board has had updates on it. We've all spoken to staff about it. We're all very familiar with what's being done and what was before us. And in July, the board chose to punt for a month and bring it back in August, without really any specific direction of what they expected to see different, just kind of the hope that by my take on it was the hope that by giving it some time so that everyone could do a little hand-holding with the different organizations, the service districts, community members, that we might be able to get more people on board with this when it came back in August. So what we had on Tuesday was essentially the same thing that we'd had before us a month before, and the board was not able to provide direction to staff. And so, you know, I just was feeling like, you know, this is our job. We're elected to be decision makers, and that means being able to make tough decisions too. And that's what we had in front of us, and the board was not able to provide to make a decision one way or the other on this thing. And that was frustrating to me.
So, Mark, one thing I was wondering about, I caught the Time Standard story, but I wondered if you had anything more to tell us about the lawsuit that the county is facing now from the Ridgewood Village developers. It kind of it goes along with this issue in that, you know, you've got legal action on both sides now against the county. You know, build more, people wanting you to build more, and people threatening to stop you from building.
Well, without going into too much detail on that lawsuit, I think that at its core, what that's about is this process of rezoning is looking, recognizing that we need to provide more sites appropriate, planned and zoned for multifamily housing. And so this is an initiative that the county is taking on. We are putting the time into it. Staff is doing it, and we are doing this rezoning at county cost. We have this large project in Cutton, the Ridgewood Village development, that started into the process of doing a general plan amendment. The developer was seeking to have a land use change of their making, to meet their, to suit their needs, that is largely compatible with exactly what we're trying to do here. It would provide a lot of multifamily housing. However, because they were already in a general plan amendment process, we couldn't pull it out of that. We had to keep them in the process that they're in. We couldn't divide out one piece from another and say, oh, we'll do the multifamily piece on the county's dime, and the rest of it's going to have to go through your own process. So basically, here's a developer that has been working in good faith going through this process at a considerable expense to them. I think that they were looking over here and saying, and here's the county essentially doing this on their own dime for a lot of other landowners. And so I can certainly understand their frustration with not being able to have their project rolled into this.
When you're talking about that, so you're talking now about the board, the rest of the board not providing leadership to the staff. I mean, I think what some critics would say is like, well, we're not getting good options. The staff is not providing the county with good options. We've got maybe sort of somewhat patchwork development in McKinleyville. McKinleyville saying, well, we don't have the we don't have the infrastructure for this development that you're putting on us. So, I mean, is it the case that you're just not having viable options for new housing put before the board, or?
Well, staff has, when we had this before, when we had this discussion before, we actually at that point continued the hearing into a second day. We ended up having all told a 15-hour hearing on the thing. And we had asked staff a lot of questions. We provided information requests. They came back with new information. We expressed concerns about this site or that site, moved a couple pieces out of this inventory, moved a couple pieces in. Staff has answered every question that we've had. They've provided every bit of information that we've asked for. They've done exactly what we've directed them to do, and what we have in front of them is the product of the board's own direction. And so it's fine if the board wants to say, you know what, at the end of the day, we're not happy with this and we don't feel good about approving it, and therefore we're going to turn it down or do whatever, and that would be making a decision. And the board would then own that decision and have to live with the consequences of that decision, which, you know, will very likely be a moratorium on new building in Humboldt County. But instead, I feel like the board was asking staff to somehow come back a week from now with nothing new, nothing different, but just somehow magically make it all okay. And that's not direction.
Supervisor Lovelace, if I can zoom out just for a couple of questions here, because my understanding of the issue is much more coarse than yours and Hank Sims's. First of all, is it constituent pressure that is causing this sort of gridlock? Do you think it's a constituents of your fellow supervisors who are sounding off and saying, put the brakes on it, or is it the supervisors not necessarily being able to spine up, so to speak?
Well, there certainly is a lot of pressure, and I want to make sure that not to make it sound like, you know, I'm not hearing those concerns, too. There are very valid, legitimate concerns about many of these sites, and but that is something that we have to wrestle with and not dump it on staff and say, bring us back better sites, because we provided staff with a target, and we put that into our 2009 housing element, into revisions. We put in these implementation measures that we would rezone to provide 514 units in our affordable housing inventory and an additional 466 units in our surplus inventory, for a total of 980 units. And for those to be actually realistic in terms of being able to provide for multifamily housing, they have to be served by sewer and water. There are only so many places where we can find properties that will, you know, realistically be able to be served, so that we can provide that. And quite unfortunately, that is going to put the vast majority of this development in the Humboldt Community Services District area, which means Cutton and Myrtletown, and in the McKinleyville Community Services District area. Now, there's other pieces that are out in Manila and down in Redway and a couple of other spots here and there, but by and large, those are the places in the unincorporated area where we can provide service. And so that's the options that we have in front of us.
Well, and can we all assume that getting, you know, wider sewers and better roads, I mean, that's just so far outside of the scope of the budget in 2011, right? There's just no chance of fixing that up before moving forward on this stuff?
Well, one thing that needs to be understood about this is that, you know, this is a planning tool for the future. And so we are not doing project level planning for, you know, each site. And so it doesn't mean that each site has to be buildable today. It means that they realistically have to be buildable within the planning horizon for this. And so there may be some sites that don't have sewer extended to them at this point, or there may be questions about the total capacity of sewer within these areas. But we have projects that are underway for expanding, for example, the Martin Slough project in South Eureka, and other things that are, you know, we're constantly looking at expanding on those services. Each of our services districts has, you know, plans to be able to improve their infrastructure, expand their capacity going forward.
So the board is at an impasse now, yeah? And I'm wondering, do you see it as a case of simply trying to please too many people? I mean, you sort of reached this pass because you say, the board at some point in the past said, okay, well, we're only going to rezone lands where the owner is willing to is a willing participant in the rezone. We're only going to all these restrictions that you placed on yourself. Now, and so now you find yourself in a place where I think there's some reasonable criticism in McKinleyville about the patchwork nature of where these multifamily residents would go. Like, you know, a big one out in the hills here, and then another one over here, and another one over there. Whereas you could have, you know, I think just rezoned, a lot of downtown McKinleyville, or, you know, or what would pass for downtown McKinleyville, as multifamily. That's my question. Have you reached this impasse because you've simply tried to please too many people?
Well, the point you made about the voluntary only of making sure that we weren't going to be forcing someone to rezone their property if they weren't interested in that, that was direction from the board to staff. And right. That is one of the things that staff has done. You know, that was a high hurdle. At the time that that direction was passed down, staff wasn't sure they'd be able to meet it. They worked diligently with landowners, and they came back with a list that did that. And so if we no longer if we don't like the result of that, we need to recognize that that is a direct result of direction provided by the board. And so if we want to change that, that's fine. If we want to not go forward and end up accepting a housing moratorium because we can't go forward, that's fine. But we need to recognize that those are our actions, our choices, and not blame this upon staff, which has been following our direction all down the line.
Sure, but was it a mistake that the board made a year and a half ago or whenever that was?
Yeah, we can fundamentally rethink this, but we need to recognize that, again, the big choices, if we decide that, for one, we do have an obligation to do this in places where there are services, where those services can be provided, and that greatly limits our choices. But if we wanted to say that we're going to use this process as an opportunity to fundamentally rethink McKinleyville and put a bunch of more urban style development right along Central Avenue, we'd for one be looking at going against that very specific direction of doing only willing landowners. And for two, we might have to look at rezoning properties where there is some existing amount of development. And in doing so, trying to, push for redevelopment where some old development would be torn down and new development would be put in its place. Obviously, I'm not talking about the county, raising buildings or anything like that, but creating the market forces to where it makes sense for someone to do that. These are things that we could do, but that's not consistent with the direction that we have provided on down the line.
Is you talked earlier about the requirement that for infill, buildings stay located in areas that already have services. And I think Mike talked a little bit about, well, we don't have the budget to build out services. But isn't it the case that and I think some people, some critics of the way that planning has been going in Humboldt County would say, like, well, that's a self-imposed restriction. For you could build out a little bit through developer fees, for example, requiring developers to pay for new roads, new infrastructure of that line, of that kind.
Yeah, historically and even to this day, Humboldt County's development fees are far below what they are in many other areas. And so development ends up being a net loss in terms of the county, that the county is putting in more costs for providing services, roads, maintenance, ongoing services, including, of course, all of the other services that go along with it, providing law enforcement, social services, economic development, all of the different things that the county provides, development, as a rule, residential development does not pay its way. And had that not been the case over many, many years, we would have service districts that have been increasing capacity and upgrading all along and always being ready for that next step instead of essentially seeing their capacity run up to the limit without a plan for financing expansions. So, you know, so yes, this is something that's been self-imposed by decisions made, you know, over course of many years by many boards, and by, you know, service districts, and ultimately by the voters themselves too.
Mark Lovelace, I apologize for not having, you know, the grasp of this, you know, the situation that you do. But can we talk about the cost of the board's inaction? I mean, it's my understanding that there are a couple of lawsuits coming at the board, one from the developers who want to put the, you know, the Forrester Guild thing and was it Ridgewood Heights?
Ridgewood.
Village.
Yeah, Ridgewood Village. And then also Housing for All, another group that is not
happy with you guys. Well, let me give you a little, just the brief history on this whole thing. This is all regarding the county's 2009 housing element, housing element being a one element of the general plan update that is on its own track. The general plan is a 20-year, you know, supposed to be revisited every 20 years. The housing element has to be updated every 5 years. And at its core, what the housing element does is it requires that the county plan and zone appropriately to provide for adequate number of sites to meet our expected growth in Humboldt County. Now, growth, by growth, what we mean and what housing and community development means is people. And so it's, you know, we have growth that is happening in Humboldt County with or without the housing to meet it. Housing is simply where we house those new people. And so we're talking about people that move here, people that live here and have children, and, you know, just simple births over deaths is the primary driver on growth in Humboldt County. So this is not about trying to attract growth from outside. It's about trying simply to accommodate the growth that is happening here already. And it's important that we not do that. In fact, it's required by law, by the housing element law, that we not do that just to accommodate any one sector. We have to make sure that we're providing sites that will be affordable to people in different income sectors. And so the definition of affordable housing, which is something we all talk about, we need to recognize that there are very specific meanings to that. And in Humboldt County, you know, at its core, when we're talking about affordable housing, we're talking about someone earning the median income should be able to afford the median-priced home in Humboldt County. And that's not the case. We have a gap between our median income and the median-priced home, meaning that even people who earn a median income in Humboldt County may be considered low income for purposes of being able to afford housing, meaning they would have to pay more than 30% of their income to be able to afford the median-priced home. So, you know, we're not talking about just some extreme subset of our population that, you know, are criminals, druggies, transients, whatever. We're talking about the vast majority of our workforce in Humboldt County cannot afford the median-priced home. So that's who we're talking about when we're talking about trying to provide housing that they can afford.
Well, I guess, I mean, my question regarding the cost of the board's inability to move on this, I was referring to just defending against these lawsuits. Do we know what that costs?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got perhaps a little off course there. But so we had a lawsuit brought against us for our 2009 housing element by a group called Humboldt Sunshine, which is, by and large, Rob Arkley. I'm not aware of any other members of that organization. They sued us over a number of alleged deficiencies in our housing element. The only one that really got any traction with the court was the fact that we did not have a sufficient number of sites appropriate for affordable housing or appropriate for multifamily housing in particular. That was the one piece that they were able to get traction on in the lawsuit. Another group called Housing for All, which is made up by and large of affordable housing advocates, they were concerned, I would say, that Humboldt Sunshine might pursue a remedy for that cause of action that wasn't appropriate, that wouldn't actually fix the situation. So they intervened in the lawsuit, to help push for a settlement or, you know, a remedy to the situation that would actually cause us to have to zone more sites for multifamily housing. And that is what has come down. On June 21st, our board entered into a settlement agreement with Housing for All on the Humboldt Sunshine lawsuit, agreeing to get this rezoning done and obtain housing element recertification by August 15th. And that was why we were working so hard to get this done back in July. And at that board, when the board punted, we knew that that meant we would not meet the terms of getting this done by August 15th. That puts at risk our first-time homebuyer program, which is funded through grants and is heavily dependent upon being having a approved housing element. So now it's very likely, you know, because in the agreement we had said that if we did not get this done in time, that the board was accepting that the court would impose an immediate building moratorium until we're actually able to get it done.
So are we under that right now? Is that in effect?
No, that needs to, the judge will have to do that, and presumably we have a date set, as I understand it, for October 3rd is when the judge may provide that, may pass down that decision. But we've already stipulated to that. And so by delaying, it doesn't mean that it doesn't absolve us from meeting the terms of what we've agreed to. It just means that now we are going to be under a court-ordered moratorium, likely under a court-ordered moratorium, until we actually do what we said we'd do, until we do what we told staff we'd do, what we told Housing for All what we do, and what we told Housing and Community Development we'd do.
Well, it sounds like it's obviously taking a lot of time and board time and staff resources to resolve these issues. Just to close it down here, Supervisor Lovelace, on your Facebook page, this is what sort of caught my attention this morning, is this sternly worded thing that you said, my board needs to stop blaming staff for the difficult decision that's before us. Staff has done everything we've asked of them, answered every question. Now we need to make a decision based on the information in front of us, et cetera. You say, it's time for my board to do its job. I guess the question I have is there a morale issue? I mean, is the staff kind of feeling down right now if they're getting, in your view, the finger pointed at them for failure?
Oh, yes. I certainly believe that there's a morale issue, and understandably so, when they've, again, followed direction. They've only done exactly what we've asked them to do and have brought back, as I said, in this process, back in July when we were looking at it, even before it came back to us, we'd made sure that we wanted only to see stuff that was voluntary. You know, we didn't want anyone to be forced to rezone their properties, and so that's what staff brought us. We each, individually and collectively, I know we were all working with staff on this developing document that came to us in July. And then when it did land in front of us, we had questions. We sent back staff for to bring back some more answers, to look at this, to look at that. They worked very hard overnight and came back the next day with responses to everything that we had asked. And we took the time. We sat there in his chair. I asked the board, to go through every one of the findings, to go through every one of the conditions that were being put into this zoning process, something that would be called the Q zone, to require certain conditions as these projects move forward, to ask about, raising questions about any of the sites in particular. And staff responded to every request that we had of them. So what we have in front of us is, at this point, if there are problems with it, we need to be able to voice that in a way, that's specific. actionable that can give staff something to do about it rather than just tell staff, we don't like the product of the direction we've provided to you.
And is this the opinion of the board minus you? I mean, I don't want to foster any discontent between you and your fellow board members, but I mean, is there a single supervisor who is maybe dragging their feet a little bit on this?
Well, we didn't bring it to any kind of a vote on Tuesday, and so, you know, it would be premature of me to, you know, say what any one of the supervisors was thinking in terms of, you know, ultimately up or down on this. But, you know, I just,
maybe
as I said early on, and as I think I was alluding to in that thing, you know, as we're elected to be decision makers, and making a decision means that you have choices. And so that means that if everyone is all on board with one thing and there's no one against it, that's not really a choice. You know, that's not saying that you really have to make a decision. If you're waiting for, you know, something to be, you know, 100% positive, you know where everyone's at and they're all on the same side, that's really abdicating making a decision. And so this is going to be a very tough choice. And the fact that we have people divided over this, the fact that we have people who disagree about the suitability of some of the sites, you know, is a part of what we have to shoulder and recognize that that's our obligation. And every one of us ran for office, you know, voluntarily with the idea that, you know, we'd be making decisions, including tough decisions like this one. And it's time for us to do that.
Well, in conclusion, just a quick lightning round. Are you mad as hell, and are you going to take it anymore?
Oh, I wouldn't say mad as hell. I'd say certainly I was and am frustrated. But we need to bring this project home. We need to get this done. No, I wouldn't use the word mad as hell. So I guess that you had said that when you're reading my post, you thought I sounded like Tony Montana or something like that.
That's correct.
Not really what was in my mind at that time, so.
It read that way, though. It really had, like, it had the look of a somebody who was griping about their coworkers in a way where you're like, you know, we're not getting anywhere by being friendly. Let's just push this thing through and make some tough calls. And we're out of time. Mark Lovelace, thank you so much. Hank Sims, thank you as well.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Mark Lovelace, right after his lunch break, Humboldt County Supervisor. Thank you to him. We'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. This is Barrett from Ramon's Bakery and Cafe. We've been working on a major remodel.